Today is the last Sunday after Epiphany and also the Transfiguration of our Lord. The Transfiguration is a mobile feast in the church calendar. It can be celebrated last Sunday before Lent, or the second Sunday of Lent, or on August the 6th. And we here at St. George's, in the Anglican tradition, we observe it today. So each brings a slightly different emphasis, but celebrated today, just before we start the Lenten journey, it draws our attention to the nature of this Jesus who is about to set out on his last journey to Jerusalem. The Transfiguration story reminds us that from the beginning, there has been no single path, no unwavering mode of experience by which God draws Christians into the transformed reality that is the reign of God. So, Transfiguration of our Lord is a fascinating story, with the glory of God in its simplest sense. Three disciples go to the mountaintop, while nine others grapple with intransigent evil in the village street. A man has come to them seeking their help with his possessed son, but they have been unable to do anything. They were helpless. Their master was not around. So were those other three went with Jesus. So they struggled in the trenches with no help at all. They didn't know how to go about it. Unsuccessfully with the possessing spirit. That would have been very scary for them. When somebody approaches and say, can you do something about this? Can you help my son? And the question is why Jesus chose Peter, James, and John to witness his transfiguration in dazzling glory on the mountaintop is not explained. Different theologians have reflected on this differently. And that can be a good study material for a Bible study session, which I will leave it at that. Jesus and his disciples descend the mount only to find the other nine disciples absolutely in a mess. So contrasting these two scenes, we are now reminded that mountaintop experiences are often followed by a return to the confusion and failures we face in our everyday lives as Christians. This goes on. We all continue to have those mountaintop experiences. Yet, later, it is followed just like how they are witnessed coming back from descending the mount and coming and watching those nine other disciples in a mess. We also move into that space. We also learn from the story of the humble life. This is a very important thing for us to remind ourselves of who our Lord is. The story of the humble life and form in which Jesus lives. Three of these blessed disciples saw and nine did not see. That can be kind of very discouraging for the other nine. But they didn't know where they went, where they'd been, because Jesus instructs them not to reveal until the day of resurrection. Three of them saw, nine did not see, the vision on the mountaintop, something they missed. Probably learning about this much, much later after resurrection, they would have thought, how come Jesus did not take me? We do that, right? I mean, even in our families, you know, sometimes I'm a biker myself. I'm always on the bike when I grew up as a teenager, and most recently I would bike around. My wife doesn't allow me now. And I would choose one kid at a time, either my older son or a younger. So the other one is always, oh, mom just told me that you took my brother for a ride on the bike. I said, yes. Why didn't you take me? So it is natural. So the disciples here, the other nine, would have felt that way. And these three ended up bearing the burden of keeping a secret from the rest. This is a very important thing for us. You know, we tell ourselves, during our conversations, we say, okay, I mean, this is something that I'm sharing only with you. And I expect, out of sheer respect to that individual, I say, can you keep this to yourself? And many a time we see this, people fail to keep that to themselves. They go out consciously or subconsciously, they share, they reveal. And that can hurt the other person. But here, they had this burden to keep the secret from the rest. They did not share that mountaintop experience, because Jesus instructed them. So they were obedient. They had such great respect and for Jesus. They said, yes, we will keep it to ourselves. So the image of brilliant shining can be overpowering and also under-engaging. So what is such a moment to do with us? We can, at the end of this reading, we might ask ourselves, what is such a moment to do with us? Here St. Paul says, this is the language we associate with baptism. At the time of our baptism, the priest would have said this, including myself. Today I'm a priest, but I also baptized many. But I also, at one time, I was baptized when I was a kid. And the priest would say, God has brought you out of darkness into this his marvelous light. And all the gathered faithful would join him saying, shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. So what is such a moment to do with us? As my friend and theologian, as she explains, when we gaze into the face of our dear ones, whether it's a spouse or our own children, when they are sleeping, we are always looking at it. They look very beautiful when the kids are sleeping. And we feel very happy. Wow. There's no noise, no hassles, sound sleep. We know, at that moment, we know the depth of longing and satisfaction that this looking upon stirs up in us. And when we look upon an artist's impression, I was looking at Raphael's painting on the Transfiguration. It's a very interesting. You should Google and watch that. It's beautiful. The faces, when we look at that impression of the face of Jesus as we pray, or when we gaze upon the raised sacraments now of remembrance in the Eucharist, we know that something deep and true in us sees more than the surface of what is before us. We begin to acknowledge that. And when we gaze upon those we love or imprinted by the image of them, our internal order of meaning and sense and reorganized around us, and we are forever different because of the act of looking, the way we approach, you know. seeing things changes us. And that's what happened for Peter, James, and John. When they seen, everything changed. So one can imagine how the disciples felt as Jesus instructed them not to tell anyone about their experiences on the mountain until after resurrection. They would have wondered about two important things. They would have wondered what resurrection and why. They couldn't understand then at that point in time. But they just acknowledged that instruction, kept it to themselves. And that, as we know, it kept unfolding. So just like the disciples, some or most of what we try to learn about Jesus may not be understood straight away. There are many things that we are not supposed to understand. It takes a whole lifetime for some. For some, God reveals too quickly, just like the three disciples. The other nine were kept aside. So we should not be surprised. We should look back into the scripture. Say, okay, have patience. And after the service today, we are going to have the annual vestry. So let us remind ourselves to those who lead trip through wilderness. I'm also a trekker. I love trekking. I love to walk miles and miles until I am ready to crash. I'm like that. So it is that one person who leads that pathway. What they do is they look to the clouds to understand what the day's journey might hold. Is it going to be a smooth trekking or a stormy passage? And based on that, they make their own judgment, and then they move on. They might say, okay, we can't move further. We need to rest. We'll camp here this afternoon or tonight. That's how they guide. So the Transfiguration story reveals that the cloud that hovers over Jesus and his disciples is a cloud of revelation. It's a radical knowing. In it, a voice declares who Jesus is. That is the time they will listen to God's voice. Here is my beloved son. That would have been a great experience, these three. One day when I get there, I'm going to ask all these three, tell me exactly what happened. And how did you guys feel? So also for in our baptism, we are called into a faith community. And this process of transformation is not an isolated one. We should always bear that in mind. This is not an isolated one. As each of us looks upon the face of God and grows in radiance, so we will find that we are a light to one another. And that becomes very important for us as we journey together. And this is very important for us today, as we are going to attend the annual vestry. Most of us will be present there. I find we are a light to one another. That is what we should become. And we will find in the face of one another the face of Christ as we look at each other. As followers of Christ, that's what we need to look into another person as we speak, as we share the journey. In a modern day transfiguration story, Nelson Mandela, in his inaugural speech, after one of the hardest journeys up a mountain, what a struggle that was. He quotes Marianne Williamson's prayer. Many of you would have heard that name before. Later on, she became a politician from her spiritual life, she transformed into that role. And this is the prayer that she wrote. And Nelson Mandela read this prayer on that inaugural speech, during that inaugural speech. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frighten us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Because you are a child of God. You and you and you are, and we all of us are children of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. You have to think big. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. So it radiates. Here at St. George's, it radiates further into the community. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And just as Jesus was reminded by a voice at his baptism that he is the beloved, now others hear it as well, beginning with those three wonderful disciples that he chose. So together, as a community, we move toward Ash Wednesday, remembering, not forgetting, but to remember that we are beloved too. And why is that? Because of Christ. Amen.